Christie, Louis. Long Point, Parramatta, New Zealand. August 1, 1893. Louis Christie, Auckland, New Zealand. I received your letter this morning. You are a poor, deceived young man. This morning, Sister Tuxford made us a visit at Sister Brown's and brought us our mail in which was a letter from you. You seem to feel much depressed, not especially because of your wrongs, but because you have been treated, you say, badly and without tenderness. I cannot take your testimony in regard to this shameful treatment until I have evidence of the fact. It is generally the case when errors are reproved in any person that they feel terribly misused. The reprover, or the one who feels compelled to handle these disagreeable cases, may be full of sorrow and pain at heart to do the work of this disagreeable character, but he dare not neglect the case. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 3, verse 17 to 21. See also Matthew 25, verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The denunciation of God is not confined to the most revolting crimes and actual outbreaking sins. Lo, far from this are the representations of the final judgment day, and the transactions of that solemn occasion. Reference is not especially made to actual transgressions, outbreaking sins, but the neglecting of doing that which they might have done, and ought to have done, and did not do because of the lack of those moral qualifications which Christ has made every provision to place within the reach of every sinner. For this he clothed his divinity with humanity, and came to our world that humanity might touch humanity, and bring to fallen man moral power to combine with human effort, that he should become a laborer together with God. Looking to Jesus, by studying the life of Christ, and by beholding him, he is changed into his likeness, and he works in Christ's lines, and obtains a deeper and still deeper knowledge of God, and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. The whole 25th chapter contains lessons of great importance, developing the principles of eternal justice, which will be revealed in the decisions of that great day when the judgment shall sit, and the books shall be opened. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Revelation 20, verse 11, 12. The question is, what is the character of their works? Jesus has given his life to give the transgressor an opportunity to become transformed in character and become fit subjects for the kingdom of God, members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. The gross, the sinful, corrupt transgressors are named as those outside the city of God. There is presented the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. What was the offense of the 5 foolish? They took no oil, they not of the grace of God, in their vessels with their lamps. They had lamps, a knowledge of the truth, but no living connection with God. They were not vitalized by His Holy Spirit. They made appearance of giving out as the wise virgins, but they were only wise in their own sight. God sees that they have no saving faith, that Christ to them is not a personal Savior. They are a fraud. They have not been growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because they have not been doers of the words of Christ. All these striking illustrations are lessons to be carefully studied and contemplated. In the parable of the servant, to whom was entrusted one talent for wise improvement, he went and hid his Lord's talent in the earth. And when his talent, with its improvement, was required, he did exactly that which many others are doing, made charges against God, as you have made charges against his diligent servants, who bear the burdens and carry the responsibilities God has laid upon them. It was the unprofitable servant that did not make a right use of his master's goods, who made charges against God. Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then, at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Matthew 25, verse 24-27. This is the return the Lord expects from every one of his servants, to use the ability, influence, and means given them of God, to do good through doing the words of Christ. By practicing the lessons Christ has given them, bringing them and keeping them in constant exercise, they increase their powers to do. The ability is through constant use, strengthening and increasing. But if the talent is not improved, he proves himself an unprofitable, slothful servant. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Verses 28-29. The Lord puts no confidence in him. He has, when on test and trial, developed the principle which controlled his action, and he has not stood the proving of God. He has educated and trained himself to complain of others in regard to the course of action pursued toward him, and finally, he complains of God. You are educating yourself to do the very thing. Christ says, Ye are my witnesses. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Those who have not improved their knowledge and entrusted capabilities to work in Christ's lines in this life will not be faithful and obedient in the future life. What a lesson is here! Sinners are to be judged and retribution bestowed for their want of piety and the exercise of their entrusted capabilities to bless others. The good that they might have done, that Jesus gave his life to make it possible for them to do through the provision of his grace, which they did not accept. They disappointed the Master who has given to every man his work, and for this neglect, the retributive judgment of God will come upon the slothful servant. They may have been very busy in occupying themselves with their own matters, but they have left eternity out of their reckoning. The majesty of heaven, the King of glory, purchased the life, the whole man, and the ransom money paid in his own blood. The servant and the talents belong to God. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. All your capabilities, all your powers, are his purchased possession. Your intellectual and moral powers are capable, if not misapplied, of honoring and glorifying God. You are to be educating the tongue to speak right words, the eye to discern right things, the heart to be refined, purified, and sanctified through the truth, that from its treasures may proceed good things. You can abuse every God-entrusted faculty, for the Lord will compel no one to do righteousness. You are a free moral agent, but it is essential for you to bear in mind that God is the proprietor of every individual upon the earth, by creation and also by redemption. He is given to every man according to his several ability. He is required to devote his powers to God, whether few or many. And in thus doing, he has answered the requirement. He is on test and trial, and Satan is playing the game of life with him for his soul. Whatever may have been his hereditary or his cultivated tendencies, Jesus Christ has died on Calvary's cross to bring saving grace within the reach of every sinner. And if he will place himself under right influences, having faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he will have divine power given him to combine with human effort, that he may be more than conqueror through him that hath loved him. The operation of the Holy Spirit, the Word, the truth, are his helpers. God requires you to engage in no business, enter into no arrangements in your temporal concerns, which will prove a hindrance to you making all possible improvements and devoting every acquired power, physical, mental, and moral, as well as the original talents, to Him who hath the ownership by creation as well as redemption. When we first experience the new birth, we are babes in Christ. But we are not always to remain babes, but feed upon the sincere milk of the Word. We are becoming strong, having nourished, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, worldlings who obey not the truth, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2, verse 3, 11, 12. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, verse 14-19. The Lord held the slothful servant accountable for talents which he never possessed, because through the infinite sacrifice of his only begotten Son, he made every provision that he should, through diligent use by exercising as a faithful steward the entrusted gifts of God, increase in knowledge and spiritual understanding, that he should have an uplifting, reformatory influence upon the world. The unprofitable servant gave back the Lord's one talent, but the Lord required the usury of that talent. He had not appreciated the claims of God upon his time, influence, capabilities, and powers to be co-laborers together with God, to the saving of souls of fallen men by reaching the highest standard possible. He neglected to search the Scriptures diligently to learn the words of Christ, and be a doer of that word, and therefore did not appreciate the importance of not only having faith, but works, that testified of his faith in an unmistakable example. He was not making a right use of his privileges to know and to become acquainted with a knowledge of God's will, that he should educate and train his mind, his affections, his heart, that he should be increasing in ability and efficiency in being a faithful steward of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love, gratitude, and thankfulness are to come forth to God from a heart holding the treasures of his grace. The continual progress of the soul in divine knowledge and virtue is God's purpose. For surrounded as we are with Satan's agencies, temptations, dangers, and wicked men, we want and must have a right hold by living faith upon God through Jesus Christ. Where shall we spend our eternity? In the presence of an omnipotent God? Then is it not best to become acquainted with Him and understand our obligations to Him? Or shall we go on in the uncertain speculations of our own, living according to our own finite desires, following our own human wisdom, burying the Lord's entrusted talents in the earth, in the place of putting His goods, His talents, to usury? He becomes himself alienated from God through selfishly hoarding His goods. He becomes the dishonest steward in the place of having a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, showing forth the praises of Him who called him out of darkness into His marvelous light. He is complaining by precept and example, testifying to the world, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Matthew 25, verse 24-25. This poor, deceived, dishonest soul, in dealing with his Lord's goods, claims I knew thee to be an hard man. Then he expressly told a lie. He evidences that he was ignorant of God, that he knew not his way, but judged God to be altogether such an one as himself. If he had gone diligently to work to make the most of his entrusted talents, If he had been thankful for the confidence the Lord reposed in him and expressed his gratitude, then used every means to qualify himself to make a right disposition of the Lord's talents, he never would have uttered the words, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed." Verse 24. How deceived the sinner shows himself to be. He thinks he knows, and will claim he has, knowledge of God, and of his own heart and ways and practices, when his mind has no knowledge of God, of himself, and is all found to be a species of deception. He knows nothing as he ought to know it. Unbelief, dishonesty with God, is the beginning of the dishonesty with men, and corruption of morals, vice, and all sin reproduces itself through separation from God, as the fear and love of God, faithfulness, and integrity reproduces itself. And then it will be that each moral agent is making his own future destiny. That which ye sow shall ye also reap. This is our sowing time, and it becomes us, as accountable beings before God, to take heed what seed we are sowing. For we must bear in mind the reaping time will surely come. While Christ is our officiating priest in the heavenly sanctuary, we may have faith in Jesus Christ. We may repent of our sins, ye believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, verse 1. Every provision has been made for every necessity of our moral and spiritual nature. Truth in Jesus Christ reveals to us God is love and that he careth for us. 1 John 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. Psalm 103, verse 13. Light and immortality are brought to light through Jesus Christ. I will, says Christ, open a door, and no man can shut it. Revelation 3, verse 8. There is the open door, there is shining forth from the gates ajar the glory of God, in beams of merciful light, and rich grace through Jesus Christ is shining upon us. The inspired word is to be studied. It is to be our meat and drink. The labors, the anxieties, the mortifications, the sufferings because of the indulgence in sin make the bitterness of life. But there is pardon now if sought diligently. Conscious of our own demerits we will be, and the justice of chastisement we must have, humiliating, though it may be. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 19. Let not your mind and heart falsify God and his ministers, as the unprofitable servant is represented as doing. I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Matthew 25, verse 24. The reproof must come. Plain, close dealing will be given if the ministers are faithful to their charge. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16-17. You have needed reproof, you have needed correction, you have needed instruction in righteousness, but you are kicking hard against the pricks. You are free to make positive statements that this is not true which has been written concerning you. Every word of it is true. Had you spiritual discernment, you might see more clearly. If the fog that envelops your mind could be cleared away, you might see. Read 2 Peter, 1 chapter, verses 2-9. But he that lacketh these things, seeing he has not been adding grace to grace, using his entrusted talents with all diligence, is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verses 9-11. You, young man, make serious charges against the ministers who have dealt with your case. But this is because of your blindness, because you feel humiliated before others. But this is a part of the responsibilities which rests upon every faithful minister. If he shunned this part of his duties, because not pleasant, the blood of souls would be in his garments. The dying testimony of Paul to his son in the gospel, Timothy, was, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1-4. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Verses 19-21. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, whose mouths must be stopped. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Void of judgment. Titus 1, verse 10, 11, 13, 15, 16. Read the second chapter, verses 11-15, chapter 3, 3-8. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And, let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Verses 20-22. Let us consider the case of a man who claims to know the truth as neglecting some part of his duties plainly specified in the Word of God. He neglected to watch and pray, and he neglected to make God his counselor and his dependence. He became self-sufficient and walked in his own imagination, as if he had wisdom, strength, and knowledge of himself. He failed to improve the entrusted talents, or improve the talents in a careless, negligent manner, and disqualified himself thereby for some field of action he might have occupied. That man is responsible for all he might have done and did not do. Is God's Spirit grieved? Is he dishonored? Are souls lost through his unfaithfulness? The guilt is upon him. He is accountable for all evil arising through conscious or unconscious influence resulting through his unfaithfulness. He is, by all action of unfaithfulness, preparing himself for the second death, unless he sees and confesses the wrong and understands better how to help in entreatings and warnings to others in danger. But if he goes on from step to step with indifference, he is disqualifying himself for the useful work the Lord has given him to do, and all the good he might have done by his capabilities entrusted of God, and did not do because he was the free moral agent who had advantages and opportunities to learn his accountabilities to God, yet has led a sinful life because he chose to do this in every point of his course of action, is charged by the judge of all the earth as one to do the same duties as the Christian, and is a defaulter charged with the whole amount of talents entrusted, but that he did not diligently employ. He may brave it out and appear to feel no remorse, but God's law holds him in its chains. Unless he exercises repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, he will perish in his sins. All that a Christian might do in faithful work, which he neglects to do, is charged to his account if, through faithfully serving God and improving his talents, he would have become a watchman on the walls of Zion. God holds him responsible for all the souls that were lost, that he might have saved if he had been a faithful steward of the grace of Christ. For the sinner cannot be released from his God-given work through the excuses of his sins. This is not how the sinners regard their case. They suppose it is less criminal in them to do evil things because they do not consent to stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. But their salvation costs every jot and tittle as much to the Son of God as if they were benefited by His great salvation provided for them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That which a man soweth shall he also reap. The truth which they refuse to accept, lest it shall sanctify the soul, is working through every day of neglect as a savor of death unto death. Every hour spent in careless inattention to the claims of God is a terrible loss. It is a wasting of opportunities and privileges which are the Lord's entrusted mercies and entreaties. And keeping back from Him a part of the price is committing robbery toward God. The future life is, now, to them dropped out of their reckoning. An increase of their Lord's talents in usefulness and efficiency nothing can supply. If saved, it will be there and stars differ in glory, according to the wasted substance, for they receive according to their works. Oh, what a terrible loss through all eternity, that light and truth was shining all around them, and they were careless and chose not the peace and joy of Christ. We are favorably situated. We can make use of every opportunity to know the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent. The delusive snares of Satan we do not need to experience. It is the privilege of the young to be enabled through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to return to the Lord his own with usury. Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.